used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Cause baby, now we got bad blood.
Welcome one and all to Pro Wrestling Cast, your source for weekly wrestling news and commentary. I'm one of your co-hosts, Aljon Go. Lifelong wrestling fan, broadcaster, and usually I'm joined by Mr. Stephen Anthony, our wrestling correspondent, our heel announcer, and wrestling historian, but he's off on assignment, and we wanted to make sure you got your weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary before the legendary, or I guess the highly anticipated WWE draft, the roster split, aka brand extension, whatever you want to call it, that's happening. And we're recording this right now. This is Monday morning, so hopefully you get a chance to check this out before then. We just also wanted to get some of our thoughts on this week in wrestling headline news, and there's plenty of it. But before we talk about Brock Lesnar and the CWC and NXT, let us go ahead and talk about the fact that you can support Pro Wrestling Cast. Each and every week we talk about it. We have some great affiliates like Amazon, and you can log on to ProWrestlingCast.com and click on our Amazon banner, and there you'll be able to partake and buy all the regular stuff you would with Amazon, but Amazon kicks us a little bit of a commission should you purchase anything when you start using our Amazon banner at ProWrestlingCast.com. So it doesn't cost you any extra. Amazon just helps out our show, and it's a great way for you to support our show because we bring it to you for free every single week, and sometimes twice a week if you have one of those special episodes like last week's edition of Mick Foley and Ken Anderson talking about comics. That was pretty cool, right? Also, we have links to WWE Shop, where there are sales going on every single day. You can save up to 15, 20, 35% on your on the gear that you would normally buy at the arena, but go ahead and get it in advance and show up ready to sport your wares for your favorite WWE or NXT superstar when they come into your town by clicking on our link at WWE Shop at ProWrestlingCast.com. Also, signups for the WWE Network should you be interested in starting a new subscription, and HighSpots.com. And there at HighSpots, you can check out all the great videos that we have, shoot videos and wrestling, pay-per-views, all kinds of great things for you to check out and consume. And once again, for clicking on our High Spots link before you even hit High Spots, that would be an awesome thing for you to do, because High Spots gives us a little commission on everything that you buy using our link at ProWrestlingCast.com. Bookmark our site, your one-stop shop for all things wrestling. And now, on with the show.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line!
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one, when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna reach out right now! I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand!
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast, and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
We're back on the show, and we do have some results from the Cruiserweight Classic. You can find those because those are taped, but we wanted to maybe talk a little bit about that. Talk about the big, big, big news, Brock Lesnar, and he's dominating headlines, much as he did in the world of UFC. We're going to talk about that, as well as the Finn Balor Shinsuke Nakamura match on NXT and the impending draft. So I'm going to go ahead and talk about some things that Steven did not call on. You know, we couldn't get our schedules to mesh this week, but that's okay because we do plan on coming in with a very special post-draft edition of the Pro Wrestling Cast sometime mid-week. So you're getting a little extra dose of Pro Wrestling Cast for this week, but we wanted to make sure because we know that the draft is going to take up a predominant amount of time as we talk all the time about wrestling news and commentary, not just WWE. We talk about TNA, we talk about Evolve, we talk about New Japan, Lucha Underground, Ring of Honor. So we talk about a lot of these independent promotions as well.
This week in wrestling news.
Let me go ahead and first tell you, if you're in the Nashville area, like we are, myself and Steven, we want to encourage you to check out the Dutch Mantel show at Zany's. Now, Dirty Dutch Mantel, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter, will be doing a stand-up act, if you will. And it's going to be Wednesday, August 10th, there at Zany's in Nashville. General admission is $20. And he's going to be joined with Chris Killian, who's also a wrestling enthusiast, stand-up comic as well. A lot of great stories. And he's going to tell you a lot about what went on in WWE, as well as, you know, his life there, working the territories. He's got such a great wrestling mind. And our paths kind of crossed years and years ago, as he was doing some stuff for Showtime All-Star Wrestling here in Nashville. But it is going to be great to see Dirty Dutch Mantel in his one show that he is doing. It's at 7:30 p.m. There is a two-drink minimum, and it's 18 and over. And once again, for tickets on that, you can go to zanysnashville.com or zanysnash.com to get tickets. Once again, Dirty Dutch Mantel, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter, we the people, okay, is going to be performing there in his one-man show, I guess, August 10th at 7:30 p.m. That's Wednesday, August 10th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m., 18 and over. And as I used to say in the promos, don't you dare miss it. Now, let's see. We also have some Evolve news, because we had a 7-minute package released from Evolve 64 iPay-per-view on Saturday night, featuring the return of Chuck Taylor as Dustin. And there's footage of Taylor and Galloway capturing the Evolve tag team title. So congratulations, guys. And you can check that out on YouTube as well. Just search for Evolve 64 and get some highlights on that as well. And I believe you can check out the Evolve iPay-per-view on the Fight TV app, which Steven and I talked about over the last few weeks. So be sure to check that out. And we have some information here, and this comes to us from the PW Torch and James Caldwell. WWE released information how the draft will play out this Tuesday during the first live ever SmackDown. And Raw will have the first pick, and during the draft, Raw will get three picks for every two picks of SmackDown because of 3 versus 2 hour show, respectively. The big item is that 6 draft picks will be made from the NXT roster. So which ones are they? Okay. A lot of speculation. So how about that? Regarding the teams, each tag team counts as one pick unless the Raw SmackDown Authority figures specifically they want to pick one member out of the team, which is interesting because I believe that teams had to register, according to their storyline on TV, that teams had to register as a team. So if New Day wanted to register as a team, they would have to register as a trio for the tag team so they could all be drafted to one particular show. So it says, this is where things get interesting. This is what Caldwell says. As the Lucha Dragons and the Wyatts are listed individual wrestlers and not a tag team, whereas tag team champions New Day, Social Outcasts, several other teams are listed a tag team unit and can be drafted as a whole team or be broken up as individuals. But apparently the Wyatts and the Dragons cannot be drafted as a whole unit. Well, maybe that's because they didn't register that way. let's see. Part-timers. Brock Lesnar is eligible to be drafted, but The Rock, Triple H, and Undertaker are not eligible to be drafted. Injured stars like Randy Orton, which we know he's coming back for SummerSlam, is eligible to be drafted since he's returning at Battleground in SummerSlam. However, Luke Harper, Emma, Tamina, Brie Bella, who's retired, Nikki Bella, listed as injured, are not being eligible draft picks. Neville, who returned to action in a dark match on Tuesday, is eligible for being a draft pick. So there you have it. Lana and Maryse are not listed as individual women division picks, but they are package deals with Rusev and Miz, respectively. Bob Backlund is also a package deal with Darren Young. Roman Reigns is not eligible for a draft pick while being suspended. Ryback not listed as an eligible roster member despite being on the official roster page because his ass left. And Tyson Kidd, as Caldwell says, whose career might be over, is still listed on the roster, but he's not eligible to be drafted. So we have a lot listed, and it goes on. Yes, and Eric Rowan, everybody in the Wyatt family is listed individually. Interesting how that is. Interesting there. Eligible tag teams. Okay, so there are too many single names, but eligible tag teams include Breezango, which is Fandango and Tyler Breeze. Too bad they couldn't get that name for Breeze, because I would have liked that even better. Enzo and Cass, the Golden Truth, Shining Stars, where are those guys? Show Social Outcast, The Ascension, they're both back. The Club, Dudley Boys, New Day, Usos, and the Vaudevillains. And there's also the eligible women's division. Now, I don't know how that's going to work out. Once again, will the women's division stay on Raw? Will there be a cruiserweight division upstarting on SmackDown? Who knows? But the eligible women are Alicia Fox, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, who's a champ, Dana Brooke, Eva Marie, Naomi, Natalia, Paige, Sasha Banks, and Summer Rae. Interesting there. Thank you for Mr. Caldwell for putting that together on the PW Torch. A great place to check out some news there as well. And then we have the Raw preview. So this is the end of an era. Before the brand extension happens, before the draft happens, over the past course of several weeks, we've been seemingly treading water, as this is a huge long time before the next pay-per-view event, if you will, Battleground. So we have weeks and weeks and weeks. I believe it was 5 weeks in between events, which is unheard of in this modern era of network, because now we're going to be apparently getting two pay-per-views a month with the brand extension. Each individual brand will have their own pay-per-view, apparently. So this is going to be an interesting night as things finally start coming into play. They've been treading water, trying to figure out how this creative is going to work, what roster superstars are going to end up in what show. So it seems like we have been treading water. Things have been put on hold because they have an overarching story they want to tell, and they want to make sure the pieces are set into place. So this Raw should be very interesting tonight. So be on the lookout for that. And once again, Stephen and I will be providing some coverage of the draft, after Tuesday night, maybe Tuesday night itself, we'll be able to take it to a live blab or something like that to see how we feel about it and maybe get your opinions on it. So I suggest you call our hotline there at Pro Wrestling Cast so you can make your voice heard and let us know how you thought the draft went. Now, here's some thoughts in regards to the Cruiserweight Classic. I thought the Cruiserweight Classic last week is, they've already done a bunch of tapings for the Cruiserweight Classic on the WWE Network, but I absolutely loved it. And Steven did too. We took to the internet, talked about it a little bit, and there was a little bit of discussion in different pro wrestling boards about how it went down. I think what we can all agree on is the presentation. Do we like it? Yes. Do we like the fact that it adds a little bit more realism and the fact that WWE and Triple H are treating this, and our announced team, treating this as a legit sport, much in the same way a MMA fight would be? Different styles competing, competing for prestige at this point. So, or to be crowned the inaugural Cruiserweight Classic champion. Grand Metalik defeated Alejandro Saez in the first round match. Ho-Ho Loon defeated Daivari in the first round match, and that's Aria. Did I say that right? Daivari in the first round match. Cedric Alexander defeated Clement Pinoy, Pinois, I believe, in the first round match. Pardon my pronunciation. And then Kota Ibushi defeating Sean Mulata in the first round match. I think we can all say we were very impressed with the Ibushi-Mulata match. We didn't know a whole lot about Sean Mulata going into it. We know he's part of the Samoan dynasty and had a very interesting role he took outside of the ring. He did a leap, I believe it was some type of splash outside the ring, and then tripped over, I believe, some of the ring apron or something like that. But very, very great match. That was the highlight of the show. Grand Metalik was showing us something. Daivari showed us something. Even though Ho-Ho Loon went over, the Chinese wrestler seemed a little green, and we knew that, and it seemed like that. But he must have different plans for him. WWE has plans for him to push him into the next round. Of course, we know WWE is going hard in China right now as they opened up that new market. So it's possible that you know, he went over in order to attract more of the Chinese viewership to continue watching the CWC, that there are reasons. And of course, you know, they're like, well, why did he do it? Because Daivari is such a great wrestler. And yes, he is. And but those are some of the reasons I would think that he went over. So be sure to check out the Cruiserweight Classic. And we're going to hear now what Stephen Anthony thinks.
Ah, yes, the CWC, the Cruiserweight Classic. Man, I don't even know where to start on this one. This one was so awesome. I mean, to come with, you know, right after this Nakamura Balor-based NXT show, to come with the freshness that it did, Daniel Bryan coming full force, to quote Jumpin' Jeff Farmer, as an announcer. He really did come full force with his announcing. It's almost as if he thought, you know what, I can't be a wrestler. I've been depressed. Fuck it. I'm going to go as hard as I can. And he was absolutely outstanding with Mauro. A total mark for Cruiserweight-styled wrestling, Ring of Honor-styled wrestling, whatever you want to call it, Daniel is a fan of, and he did an outstanding job on his in his debut. I was just really taken by how good he was. Another thing about the Cruiserweight Classic, the CWC, if you will, the basically basing it off a lot of MMA, UFC styled, you know, devices they use for their TV shows. Ring introductions are different. You know, referees check in, you know, the padding and things like that. Raising the hand at the end, having them shake hands, doing the short montage before every wrestler came out just to talk about them a little bit. It was an absolutely outstanding presentation. Did the matches blow me away like a Ring of Honor or New Japan show? No, not exactly. But you know what? They were pretty damn close. Now, one guy I was really excited to see was Gran Metalik. I think that's how they're pronouncing it. Or I heard them say Gran Metalik a couple of times. And he comes from CMLL in Mexico. He was Máscara Dorada. He was under a mask, like he still is. Now, this was a very important thing. For La Sombra, La Sombra was this incredible babyface with all this wonderful heat in CMLL. Took him out of the mask. Put him in this ridiculous outfit with ridiculous pants, ridiculous hat, and ridiculous suspenders. Basically looked like a very poor male stripper. And you can see it. He's getting no heat. He actually ended up turning heel. They were doing, I believe, a TV taping, or maybe it was a house show match with TJ Perkins. He actually turned heel and got pinned. Spoiler alert, if that is actually a spoiler. So I'm hoping they don't make the same mistake with him. Now, I'm hearing they actually did offer Gran Metalik Máscara Dorada a contract, and I heard he had another great match. They've already recorded the second round. I won't give away any spoilers, but I can tell you that he had a really strong cruiserweight-styled match with Alejandro Sai from Chile. They had a really good match and, you know, basically displayed some of Dorada's abilities and displayed enough of it, you know, probably to get him a contract by the time he did the second round. So great, good on that match, really cool. Aria Daivari, who is actually the original Daivari's brother, if you remember Daivari in that scandalous angle they had with, who is that freaking guy from OVW? You remember the terrorist thing. It's his brother. He played basically an Iranian heel who wouldn't shake hands with Ho Ho Loon from Hong Kong. This is the gentleman that they picked up out of China. And he, you know, came across, you know, a little green. I don't think he was terrible, but, you know, I don't know how much wrestling that I can't remember. Maybe Aljon does. The name of the wrestling federation he comes from is China. I think it's Hong Kong Wrestling. I might be wrong about that. I hope I'm not. I know he is from Hong Kong, but, you know, it's a really small wrestling show over there in China. They don't have a lot of wrestling, and I know WWE is breaking into that market, and it's sort of a in thing for businesses to say, hey, we're hitting the Chinese market. You know, we got another billion potential customers, but, you know, again, that's a whole different matter to see if it actually catches on in China, similar to how Shane's company actually didn't catch on with the YouTube concept style in China. That being said, I think they have, you know, I don't know if they have big aspirations congratulations for Loon. I know they're really interested in using him as a babyface type. I do see a lot of babyface potential in him. I was a little let down by the match. I know he has a match in the second round with Noam Dar, so maybe that one will be a little bit better. A lot of negative internet buzz on him, and guys, you need to calm the fuck down. The guy had his first match in America, and he's basically doing an indie style of match in China. So, you know, this is a pet project, all these different types of guys. Everybody chill the fuck out. It's a cruiserweight tournament. They grab 32 people from all sorts of different countries. That's what the tournament is. Calm down. Next up, and I really enjoyed this, Matt, was, I hope I say his name right, Clément Patois. I'm assuming I hope I said that right, from France, took on Cedric Alexander. And really, this was just a match to showcase Cedric Alexander. Spoiler alert, Cedric Alexander had an absolutely fantastic match with Kota Ibushi in the second round of the Cruiserweight Classic. It was taped, I think, Saturday night. And I hear they had one of the best matches of the year. Triple H came out and put his arm around him and all this. I mean, it's supposed to be one of the best fucking matches that, you know, we'll see this year. So I cannot wait to see that. Probably won't see that match itself until August. Cedric deserves a contract, and I think they'll give him one. I don't know if that's been verified yet. Sean Radican actually recently on PW Torch said they had offered one to Kota Ibushi and to Mascara Dorada or whatever his name is, Grand Metalik. And hopefully Cedric will get one too. Cedric has had some really outstanding Ring of Honor battles. I mean, you really have to just go in their tape library and check it out. Davey Richards, Kevin Steen, I can remember some when he had his tag team run. They took on Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. He's an excellent wrestler, and he's a very much a you know, Ring of Honor style guy, and I think he probably had his breakout match. As for in the CWC, I don't know if this was a breakout match he had with Clément Patois from France, but it did showcase how awesome he is, and he is awesome, and he's somebody they need to push. Finally, in the main event, Sean Maluda, who is an American Samoan, took on Kota Ibushi, who I've talked about for the better part of a year since he had the match of the year with Shinsuke Nakamura at Wrestle Kingdom 9 last January, about a year and a half ago. Kota Ibushi, the one thing we're not talking about is coming back from a very, 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 very bad injury. He actually hasn't wrestled in 8 or 9 months, and it looks like he's already back at it. He had a really wonderful match with Maluda, a wonderful TV match, I should say. Maluda is very dangerous. He looked very green and botchy. At the same time, he did a lot of very stiff stuff that was really risky. He did a flip at one point to the outside where he looked like he did a second flip just on the fly. You know, and which is dangerous. Again, Ibushi coming back from the herniated disc injury, which is a lot more serious than it actually sounds. Kota Ibushi is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. The whole theme behind his match with Nakamura at Wrestle Kingdom 9 was the young punk ass taking on the older punk ass. And looking back, you know, Kota Ibushi could be the Nakamura in New Japan right now. And it turns out, as far as Sean Radican says, that he signed a contract. I will see that when I believe it. This is a very introverted, weird guy. He's done some amazing matches in DDT Pro. He had a wonderful tag team with the Pro Wrestling Cast favorite wrestler so far of the year, I bet, if I asked Al John too, Kenny Omega. They had the Golden Lovers, they were called. Possibly the greatest name ever for a tag team, the Golden Lovers, Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega. And he's done matches with Fireworks a lot. Like I said, a lot of those matches we saw, I'm sorry, a lot of those spots we saw in Final Deletion, I've seen Kota Ibushi do shooting Roman candles at people, matches outside, matches with blow-up dolls. I recently saw a match. It was Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega against a gay wrestler named Dino and a doll, and they somehow had a 3.5-star match. And Dino doesn't know how to do anything. All he knows how to do, basically, is spots where he puts people's crotch inside of his tights and does a pile driver. That's really all he knows how to do. That's how special and bizarre Kota Ibushi really is. This is an incredible pickup, and they had a really great match. Again, this show didn't have any 4.25-star match like Balor and Nakamura, but coming after that NXT show, coming out of the gate with Mauro and Daniel kicking ass, with the new MMA-styled, you know, weigh-ins, you know, all the different stuff that they do to make the show look a little bit different. You know, reading the rules, shaking hands, and all that. You couple that with four really solid matches from, and this is so important, we and Al John talk about it all the time, fresh matchups, fresh people. This show came across as possibly my new favorite show after NXT. To think for the next 2.5 months I get to watch NXT and then this show right after it, I can't tell you how happy I am, and I cannot wait to see Kota Ibushi and Cedric Alexander absolutely tear it down in August.
As we turn our attention to NXT this past week, Finn Balor and Shinsuke Nakamura went head-to-head. The longtime friends and sometimes rivals had a spectacular match. Thought it was well-called. It was well-done. Once again, the WWE Network did not fail us. It was an amazing matchup. Great video package leading into it. Great moves between the two. Highly physical. Great storytelling, a lot of great selling. And what more could you expect from Balor Nakamura? Was it everything the fans would hope for? I took to the internet and it looked like, yes, it was definitely a great match. Stephen Anthony had a lot to say about this, and here are his comments.
NXT, man, oh man, this is just my favorite damn show. And here we have it. The much talked about, much promoted, heavily promoted Finn Balor Shinsuke Nakamura matchup, the winner to meet Samoa Joe for the NXT title. Pretty much the entire show, aside from a brief little angle setting up a Rhino Samoa Joe match, pretty much the entire show was Shinsuke Balor. It was a really interesting old school way to do it. They used to do this a few times. I've seen it done in Mid-South, and I've seen it done on my NWA show, the love affair I have with the NWA shows from the 80s. And it was just an old school type of show. They really built it up very well. There were a few things that didn't need to be said, like you'll remember where you were when this match was on. That's asking like a lot. I mean, I remember where I was when Mick Foley got thrown off the cage, and I remember where I was when Undertaker and Shawn Michaels had that 5-star match, but I don't know if I remember being in the living room eating Cheetos, which is actually not what I was doing. I'm a very healthy eater. But anyway, I don't think I'll remember what I was doing. That being said, it was an excellent match. I would rate it 4.25 stars. I would say it wasn't nearly as good as the Sami Zayn match. For emotion, I think if the crowd had acted a little differently, it actually could have been. You know, Shinsuke Nakamura, I got to be honest, I've seen him wrestle quite a few times now, and he's sort of zoned into a pattern of a type of matchup. His selling is impeccable, and his moveset is very fun. He has nothing but fucking heat and fans behind him, so he can afford to do this WWE style of match. And you know, for you guys that have just watched him on NXT and see him at the house shows, maybe, or you see him, you know, on YouTube here and there. Hey, listen, nothing beats Nakamura in New Japan. That was just a different level. And you'll start to see that happen with Kota Ibushi, who we talk about with the CWC. These guys just wrestle a different way in Japan. And when they come to America, it's really hard for them to wrestle in a way that can go to that 4.75, 5-star range without a lot more buildup than saying, hey, we're best friends and I'm going to take them on. You know, that's basically all the angle was. I thought the match was wonderful. You know, I love watching Nakamura. I thought it was the best Finn Balor match I've seen in quite a while. I think they'll have a better match when they do Nakamura against Samoa Joe. And that's really all I have to say about it. It was a wonderful night of wrestling with CWC and NXT, and it was a really outstanding match. Now, how many damn TV matches do you people get that are 4.25 stars? I'm kind of talking to the folks that, you know, were a little let down with the match. But let me tell you something, man. You got some pretty high expectations for the Shinsuke Nakamura. I mean, I do too, but I'm just saying, like, the guy can't have a 5-star match every time he's on TV. You know, that's just not how it's going to go. Did I think the match would be a little better? Maybe. But, I mean, you're not going to get too much better of a match in the U.S. right now unless you're watching Evolve, unless you're watching, you know, something a PWG, something to that level where it's just worker technicality based and they can be snug. I'm really proud of Shinsuke for what he's been able to accomplish. The heat, the transition, he does American promos, he's done angles, he's just been phenomenal. And this is just another, you know, bullet in the bullet belt for the Bullet Boys, if you're a fan of theirs. And I'm really, honestly, very proud of what they've accomplished with NXT. It's a wonderful show, and this was a great episode.
To say, Finn Balor and Nakamura in the match, amazing once again. A great show for respect at the end with the you know, the hug and the mutual respect, bowing, long term. Great friendship there and respect put on display, very much like a match in New Japan, respect for your competitor. And I think all of us really appreciated that. And kudos to the WWE Network for once again providing an awesome, awesome show. And now we can see who may be drafted coming up this week and who may be sticking around. I know a lot of people go out to see Nakamura, just very much like Stephen and I did, to see what happens. So let's see what happens for that. But once again, great, great match. Last but not least, we have making wrestling and MMA headlines, Mr. Brock Lesnar, apparently an unconvinced of a potential drug testing violation prior to his UFC 200 fight. Brock Lesnar issued a one-sentence statement on Friday to find out what happened. Quote, "We will get to the bottom of this," Lesnar said in a Friday statement to the Associated Press. Lesnar was notified by the USDA that he potentially violated the UFC's drug testing policy stemming from a test administered before the event June 28th. The AP reports that Lesnar received letters from the USDA that he passed three other exams administered over a nine-day period in mid-June. The potential violation was in a test a few days later. Lesnar is expected to appeal the results. Lesnar, the UFC, the USDA have declined to identify what substance led to a potential violation. So that has a lot of ramifications, not just to the world of UFC and how that fight could potentially be overturned in favor of his competitor. I mean, wow. Can you imagine? And not only that, but how many people bet on MMA, right? I mean, that could be a devastating blow to the gambling folks over there and the fallout for that. So I don't even know where to start in particular, but I know that a lot of people are holding on to their ticket stubs for the stuff that for betting on that MMA fight. And it was a little over a week after John Jones was popped for banned substance use as well, changing the UFC 200 list. So, at least lineup. So what is going to happen? With weighing in on this huge controversy in regards to Brock Lesnar, here is Stephen Anthony.
Well, 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 there was only one person who said that Brock Lesnar fighting Mark Hunt at UFC 200 would be fucked up in some way and fuck up SummerSlam. And here we have it. The LA Times broke the story. The perennial powerhouse in anti-doping USADA popped him. And it's an out-of-competition violation, but he has been flagged. A sample that was taken on the 28th. There is actually a B sample that at some point needs to come out, and if that matches up, then the Nevada Commission will then make a decision, and he could possibly lose 50% of his purse. As we said last week, he's getting $2.5 million to do the fight. And we felt like it would be another million on top. I'd heard from some sources he made $3 million maybe on top, or $4 million possibly from the pay-per-view revenue. The UFC 200 pay-per-view buy rate looks to be somewhere in between 1.1 and 1.2 million buys. I was actually very surprised at how low this number was. But look, we've lost Conor McGregor, who's a big draw. You know, Ronda Rousey was supposed to play a big part in it initially, and we all know what happened with her and Holly Holm. So, and then, of course, Bones Jones in the last minute. So really your draw was Lesnar and Miesha Tate. with her bizarre loss to Amanda Nunes. And once again, congratulations to her. Getting back to the point, though, Brock Lesnar has now put everyone in a seriously odd situation, because for UFC, this is basically their two main eventers now that tested positive. Second of all, as far as SummerSlam, they set up this Randy Orton match, this really mundane, who gives a shit matchup. And basically, they set it up so they could promote it at UFC 200 and say, hey, watch SummerSlam, as if anyone that watches UFC gives a shit about Randy Orton coming back to do a 2.5-star match with Brock Lesnar. When I look back at it, my feelings are this. They felt one of two bad things could happen. The one bad thing that could happen is he could fail a piss test. The other one is that he could get the shit beat out of him by a large Samoan dude. Now, although he didn't get beat up by Mark Hunt, what did happen is actually perhaps a little bit worse, because if the Nevada Commission bans him, that ban stretches to other states that regulate fighting and pro wrestling. One of them is New York. New York is where SummerSlam is. So that's something to look out for, too. I know somebody, there was a rumor on the internet that someone from his group said that he had an asthma inhaler and that's why he failed the test. I don't really know anything about that. I do know that USADA does not play around, and that they have just handed out a 2-year suspension to John Bones Jones, a fighter who, you know, is much more popular than anybody on the WWE roster, and they gave him 2 years lickety split. As far as Lesnar, let's look at the fact that the one Billy Gunn was at some sort of, I guess, posing competition, you know, professional sort of workout, what do you call that type of deal, you know, bodybuilding, and he got popped for some PEDs, and they fired his ass. Now, Lesnar is not an employee like Billy Gunn is. He's an independent contractor, but they will definitely, I don't see any way they won't lay down a 30-day suspension. I think they look very bad in this situation when you've had Roman Reigns get popped, that they said themselves, and then Lesnar, which I do find suspicious too. Part of me feels like the Lesnar situation is something they thought could happen, like I just said, and I think Vince lost some hope in Reigns, lost hope in pushing him, and decided to go ahead and, you know, basically out the fact that he was using and give him a 30-day suspension just to show, I'm being very conspiracy theorist type here with this, but just to show that they were testing. The only guys the wellness policy had really caught were Hornswoggle, Adam Rose, and Victor, the lowest of the low card guys. So to get the biggest of the big card guys, it shows, hey, we're not taking any guff, we're really testing. But perhaps in the back of his mind, he knew Lesnar was going to get popped. If you looked at him at the weigh-in, when they had the press conference slash stare down thing, he looked even huger than normal. And that kind of coincided with WWE's very, very weirdly brief statement, basically saying Brock Lesnar has not wrestled for us since WrestleMania. He is scheduled to wrestle. Scheduled. He doesn't say will. He is scheduled to wrestle August 21st. He is, you know, basically, they're trying to say, don't blame us. He's been doping when we weren't around. To me, depending on the media attention, this could negatively affect SummerSlam. Not, much more than the match with Orton, it could affect the organization itself. So now here's your two top guys for the draft, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, who are, you know, basically both doping and got caught doing it. And those are the words of USADA and the WWE wellness policy, not mine. Again, this is a very strange time. It reminds me of 93. It's obviously not as bad with the feds up Vince's keister, but at the same time, this is when they have to push AJ Styles to the top. They have to push guys like Nakamura, Finn Balor to the top. They have to do it now. Now is the time. John Cena only has 6 house shows booked till the end of the year. That's no John Cena. That's a part-time Brock Lesnar who's already gotten in trouble with possible suspensions, and a Roman Reigns who they've obviously lost faith in and have suspended.
Stuff that goes on and ramifications in terms of, you know, gambling, and if the you know, the win can be overturned. I mean, holy smokes, you know, Mark Hunt could be determined the winner, and millions of dollars could be awarded in Mark Hunt's favor, as well as other people that had bet on that match against Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is facing getting that you know, decision overturned, having him lose and then lose millions and millions of dollars in revenue as a result. So this has huge ramifications and how it's going to be affecting the WWE in the future and how they deal with it. WWE has made a mention the fact that Brock Lesnar was not a active performer during the time he was tested and will be returning supposedly clean and whatever the case is for SummerSlam for his match against Randy Orton, as that is his first match return. And you bet your bottom dollar that he's going to be nice and clean. But once again, these, you know, this is a, you know, possible violation. We'll have to see what happens and how the commission rules for or against Brock Lesnar in this particular case. We're going to be following this news and we're going to be commenting, I'm sure, on it later on this week for our special post-draft edition of Pro Wrestling Cast. In the meantime, don't forget to support all of our great links and all of our great supporters there on the site. Amazon, WWE Shop, WWE Network, High Spots, Magical Journeys, Vacations.com, and T-Blocks. Once again, if you want geeky t-shirts delivered to your doorstep every single month like I do, be sure to check out T-Blocks as well. On behalf of Dr. Deathmark, at Dr. Deathmark, Stephen Anthony, you can follow him on Twitter there. My name is Al John Go. You can follow me at Jedi Musketeer or at P Wrestling Cast or at Al John Rocks if you want more guitar-related music news, because Lord knows I love guitars, as you can tell from the background. But we do appreciate you checking out our website at ProWrestlingCast.com. All of our social media and video podcasts, on-demand audio podcasts, are also there at ProWrestlingCast.com. Thank you so much for pressing play in support of this show on YouTube and this podcast. So thank you so much. In the meantime, on behalf of Dr. Deathmark, Stephen Anthony, my name is Al John Go. Don't forget to tuck your head, and we will see you after the WWE draft. Take care, and Nick Bockwinkle in this episode for life. We'll see you.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.